Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in. What a morning, what a day it's setting up to be. Happy Wednesday, Jaguar fans, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We are back at Everbank Field, Tony, and she doesn't look any the worse for wear, does she?
Not much, no.
A little bit of a drip in the studio.
We got one bucket.
You know what? Considering we only have one bucket after a hurricane,
yes,
they've done a pretty good job, finally, with the roof remodel in this particular studio. But in terms of the facility, obviously got checked out yesterday and passed inspection. You probably heard Mark Lamping talk about that, the president of the Jaguars. And that means, you know, it was not 100% certain that football would be here, but football will be here Sunday for the home opener, and excited, man.
Yeah, you know, we're going to talk to Mark Lamping a little bit later on in the in this hour, and it was kind of funny yesterday. I'm watching the Twitter folks react when the tweet was put out there that the Jaguars are going to have a special announcement at the fire station downtown, and everyone was like, well, they wouldn't go to the fire station to announce the game's going to be here. I was like, why would they not announce it? Like, why would they go to the fire station to announce the game's not going to be here? This, like, the moment they announced it, I was like, it's pretty clear to me the game's going to be here, and they're announcing whatever they're doing for the city past this.
Correct.
Like, that's what it felt like the moment that they announced it yesterday, and I was watching Jacksonville freak out still about the potential of this game
moving. All right.
You're going to get the chance to celebrate this Sunday with your team after they killed Houston last week. They got the opportunity to go kill Tennessee this week, and if they do, my goodness, are they off and running into the 2017 season.
As Tony said, be listening, because coming up in maybe 10 minutes, we'll have Mark Lamping, the president of the Jaguars, here with us. Jags are giving away 5,000 tickets to this home opener to first responders and to people that have been impacted directly by Hurricane Irma, and we'll tell you when he's on with us exactly how you can apply to try to get some of those tickets if you're in one of those categories. And if you're a season ticket holder, look, if you're not and you have the wherewithal to show up, get a ticket and show up. This is one you want to be a part of. You've had so many that you're like, but they've already taken the enthusiasm away from me. Not this time. Congratulations to Calais Campbell, just 30 minutes ago announced as the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. What a shock there, huh? I couldn't have predicted that was going to happen at about 4:02 on
right.
Sunday afternoon.
ESPN played that uninterrupted piece yesterday about Calais Campbell, and it was going back through the free agency process with Calais. It was all this behind-the-scenes look at what was going on from his end and, you know, the different things that he was considering, and it was basically through the week leading up to it, and the teams that were in on it. Jacksonville was in on Calais from the very beginning, but it was kind of Jacksonville and Washington when it started. Then the number got to a point where Calais was like, we'll call Arizona and see if they're willing to do this. And his agent, Tom Condon, was like, they're not going to do this. And Calais is like, I know they're not going to do it, but just call them to tell them what's
courtesy
going on.
Right. Sure.
And so, you know, you get the call back from the agent, and he's like, they said they love you. They wish you nothing but the best, but we can't do that for you. And he's like, yeah, I kind of figured that would be the answer. And it really, it felt like watching it that Denver really was kind of in on it right at the end.
Yeah, they jumped in in the last minute. It seemed like, at least without having seen that, it seemed like it was Jacksonville-Denver at the very end.
But the coolest part about it to me was from the very beginning of the conversation, from a Calais Campbell point of view, because people, you know, he said it in the thing. He's like, people are going to say I'm chasing the money. He said it a week before he signed with Jacksonville. He's like, people are going to talk about it like I'm chasing the money. I think Jacksonville, he says, I look around that division in Jacksonville, I think this is the clearest path to me going to a team that's going to make the playoffs every year. That's what Calais said a week before he signed here. He's like, that's why I'm seriously considering the Jaguars. The money's good, too, because he said the whole time, he was like, $15 million is where I was doing my own study. I think that's where I should wind up. That's exactly where he wound up. And it was a week before he signed here that he was saying, this is a team that can go to the playoffs every year if they add me to it.
There you go.
He believed it.
We appreciate you coming here.
Right.
What a great start for him. A career game for Calais Campbell and AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Well, I'm telling you, what a show we're going to have today, Tony, with not only with Mark Lamping coming up to talk about the Jacks as One initiative, the Jaguars and Shad Khan donating $1 million to the First Coast Relief Fund for hurricane recovery. Mm-hmm. And we've got Fred Taylor coming up today. As we were talking with Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser just a few minutes ago, wasn't sure, hadn't heard back from Fred this morning. And just as we finished talking with those guys, he said, 10:35 works for me. That works for us as well. We'll talk to Fred Taylor, who is now a Hall of Fame nominee for the first time. And He's also a member of the broadcast team, right? We want to get his thoughts on what the Jags are able to do this weekend and how excited he is to come to EverBank this week.
Look, it was really cool to open up that Hall of Fame list yesterday. We knew Boselli was going to be on it again with how far he had advanced last year, so no surprise.
Jimmy Smith on
Boselli,
there?
But to see Boselli, Fred, and Jimmy all on there at the same time, I mean, that's cool. And we said it last year when Boselli, Tony, was graduating through it, right, and got to the point where he did as a finalist that – if you look at those three guys, all three of them deserve it. Like, all three of them are worthy of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a matter of how do you get them there? And the first step is to be at this point. And Fred hadn't been at this point. It's cool that he is. He is 100% deserving of it, and I can't wait to talk to him about it because Fred knows he's 100% deserving of this.
Fred's been campaigning for himself, and you've got to. You know, when you're in a small market, he's trying to, like, hey, just take a look. I mean, I can't play any more games. I can't add to my stats. I can't add to my performance. It's all there. Go watch the film. Go watch the highlights. Go watch the game in, game out.
It's there.
Excellence from Fred Taylor. So we'll talk to him coming up in about 30 minutes. Also, today, every Wednesday, spend a little time with Rap Sheet. Ian Rappaport going to join us from the NFL Network and NFL.com. All the latest from around the National Football League. All signs indicate that Deshaun Watson will start, which is no surprise, although apparently he was a little gimpy coming out of that game. Who wasn't? Texas got like four or five guys with concussions coming out of that game. You want to talk about a hard-hitting defense. The Jaguars delivered it, and C.J. Fedorowicz went on injured reserve yesterday. That's their starting tight end. The Texans could be in for a slide here, Tony. This game, we cannot overstate the importance of it, I don't think. You get Tennessee at home one time this year, and if that is truly going to be the team you are most likely going to have to overcome to win the AFC South, or they can say Jacksonville's the team they're going to have to overcome, however you want to phrase it, this game is monumentally important for the Jacksonville Jaguars this upcoming weekend. Hoping that you're planning on packing the bank along with us here as we're excited about Jaguar football. We'll step aside. The president of the Jaguars is going to join us here coming up in about 5 minutes. Mark Lamping is we will discuss Jacks as one, what's going on not only this weekend but beyond in terms of hurricane recovery and where the Jaguars are headed in 2017. I'm sure he's excited to start to see the plan come a little bit together, as well as all that other stuff that we've got out there for you. Oh, yeah, the question of the day brought to you by First Coast Roofing, 287-7756. If you've got any kind of roofing concerns coming out of the storm, that's the number you need to know for First Coast Roofing. The question of the day, we've been positive, positive, positive. Not that we're not going to be positive today, but want to know, what are your biggest concerns? What is the single biggest concern for this football team as they move forward from this point on right now? As you know, it's certainly understandable that you're going to have some, and I think I know where some of the issues are going to lie for your concerns, but you can share those with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Only one phone line working. We're going to be using that for guests most of the day. So sit back and hopefully enjoy this edition of Jaguars Today, brought to you by Metro Rooter on this Wednesday morning, live from EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, I know you're all excited. First week of the season is gone. You can't wait for week two to get here because you want to see the home team win another football game. Well, did your fantasy team win this weekend? Maybe it did, but did it survive for the long haul? Did you lose David Johnson? Did you lose Danny Woodhead? Did you lose any number of guys like our own Allen Robinson right here in our own backyard? Well, with FanDuel.com, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you may lose them for the week that you put them in the lineup, but you can start fresh the very next week. In fact, you can play multiple lineups in any given week with lots of contests to choose from, starting at just a single dollar. It's open for business, and 2.5 million players have already won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. You could be next, but you have to sign up and play to win. New users can get free entry into this weekend's NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com, sign up with promo code Mike. That's FanDuel.com, use promo code Mike. Sign up now, become the next big money winner at FanDuel. FanDuel.com, promo code Mike. Void where prohibited. Get on board.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
In addition, it's a great honor, and Shad wishes that he could be here today. Unfortunately, he's out of the country. But the Jaguars and Shad Khan will be making a $1 million donation to Florida's First Coast Relief Fund.
That was Mark Lamping, president of your Jacksonville Jaguars, yesterday, Tony. I'm pretty sure I thought I had the wires in the right direction. I think I had them crossed. however, because Mark Lamping, we were expecting to come in at 10:15, and we spoke with the secretary. She goes, oh, yes, he will be with you, 10:15 tomorrow. Okay, I'll take that on our end as a my bad, but the bottom line is the Jags are giving away 5,000 tickets to this weekend's game, and if you are a first responder, if you are someone impacted directly by the hurricane, you are going to be first in line to get those tickets.
Yeah, you know, I had the opportunity yesterday to, you know, reach out to a bunch of friends and really get the idea of, you know, how they have been affected by what happened with Irma coming through here and how their family has been affected. I know I had people, I had a friend of mine whose grandmother was living in Black Creek, and she, you know, she's old enough that she just didn't want to go anywhere, right, when the storm was coming through. And finally, basically my friend's mom had to call and say, look, I need you to get in there and find out if she's okay, because I can't get in touch with her. I need somebody to go in there and find out if she's okay. The whole area is flooded. We can't get in there to get her. So Clay County got in there Monday morning at about 10 o'clock, and this is an 80-year-old woman that was standing in waist-deep water in her own home. Couldn't get anywhere, couldn't do anything about it. You know, and it's in her house. It's done. It's gone. There's not a whole lot you can do about it at that point. So I know there are people all across Jacksonville, all across Northeast Florida that are dealing with that kind of story. And look, our hearts go out to you. And I hope the recovery is speedy for you. I know there's only so much we can do, and saying it doesn't do a whole lot. But obviously the Jags trying to put their money where their mouth is too, with the $1 million donation. We know the first responders did absolutely everything they possibly could and continue to get the city back on its feet. And hopefully on Sunday, for a lot of people in this city, it's a distraction. That it's a welcome distraction from what they're having to deal with throughout the rest of this week as the Jags will take on the Titans.
Yeah, if you do, if you're saying, hey, you know, I'm just hearing about this, by the way, and I'd like to, I am someone who fits in one of those categories. Some of these tickets will be distributed automatically to organizations that represent first responders. But if you'd like to apply for tickets for this weekend's game, go to Jaguars.com/JacksAsOne. And I would suggest, if you were not impacted by the hurricane, buy some tickets. Show up. It's going to be fun. You know, look, you don't have to. Do whatever you like. I just would think, if you're a Jaguar fan, even a casual Jaguar fan, I can't believe the atmosphere in the stadium this weekend is not going to be better than practically any time it's been in the last decade. It's just absolutely, you know, the situation is absolutely amazing the way it is set up right now, with the victory over the particular team you beat and the division rival that's coming in. The fact that everybody in the division lost, you have a chance to maybe see everyone else in the division be at 0-2 with you at 2-0 after Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, you know what Houston's going to be before you even kick off the game, because they're playing tomorrow night against Cincinnati. By the way, if you're Cincinnati and your game plan in this game, it sounds like Deshaun Watson's going to start. If your game plan isn't blitz a lot and try to run the ball, then you're a fool. Because it obviously worked last week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But we'll see. We'll know what the record of the Houston Texans is before the Jags even kick off.
Cincinnati was equally abysmal.
They were.
In week one. So you got a couple of just garbage performances out of those teams that a lot of people thought were going, both maybe going to the playoffs this year. Who knows? Still a long season to go. Let's go to Steve on the north side. We have, I believe, Tyler, just correct me before we get Steve in here. We have one phone line working. Is that correct?
I actually just checked the phone lines. All of them are back. Good to go.
Oh,
so
we're back.
Back
all
in
right.
Business.
641-1010, then, if you'd like to get in. Fred Taylor coming up in about 12 minutes. Let's go to Steve on the north side. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up?
My biggest concern really is just consistency. We've had that in the past of not playing consistent. So I need to see that we play at this level consistently, and I'm sure we're going to have some opponents that's going to be pretty good, and we might not see the dominance like we did Sunday. But if we can stay consistent, man, I think we'll be okay. Now, if one thing I do want to see is when we come against a team that has good run defense, but their pass defense is shaky, I want to see how Blake going to handle it and how they're going to call that game. Because if you can shred them on the pass, you might have to go ahead and try to do that. So, I mean, it looks good, but I can't get too hype off of one game. I got to see consistency, and I got to see what will happen when these guys hit a roadblock, how the play calling going to go, and how they can maneuver around that. So,
Sure. Look, there, I think that's fair, and there are certainly questions. What happens if this team's down 10 at some point? You know, do they have the firepower to come back if they have to pass themselves back into it? That's a legit question without Allen Robinson in there. I think with Allen Robinson in there, it was a legit question based more on questions about Blake Bortles and will he be consistent enough, Tony? But here's the thing. If you're looking for consistency out of the defense, don't expect that to mean 10 sacks every week or anything approaching that. Honestly, if this team went out and had 3 sacks in each of the next 15 games, that's 55 total for the season. 10 in the first game, another 45 to come. 55 put you right up among the league leaders.
No doubt.
Right, in the entire National Football League for the whole season. So when you talk about consistency, you want to see pressure consistently. You're facing a much better offensive line in the Tennessee Titans in week 2 than you did last week in the Houston Texans, who were without their left tackle. Their left guard got injured. They look, that's a team that could fall apart quickly in Houston, particularly on a short week if they lose to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, it's a completely different matchup for the Jags this week. The Tennessee Titans don't have the offensive line problems that Houston had. They don't have the quarterback problems that Houston had. They don't have the running game options problems that the Houston Texans had. They don't have the wide receiver options problems that the Houston Texans had. It's a completely different challenge for this Jaguars defense going up against the Titans this week. Not that I don't think that they're up to it, right? But I do think it's a completely different thing coming into this one, where last week, a lot of the how realistic are their chances to go out there and win this game were about what we had seen from the Jaguars offensive line against what the perceived strength of what Houston was supposed to be. And that was that pass rush and that defensive line able to take over games. We had seen Blake turn the ball over a lot in those kind of games before. That was the real question mark with them. It wasn't, can they slow down Houston? Yeah, they ought to be able to slow down Houston. An okay NFL defense ought to be able to slow down Houston with the options they put on the field last weekend. They look like a lot more than an okay defense. And offensively, that offensive line, if they're going to get that kind of performance out of that group of 5 guys week to week, then yeah, it's going to be a tough team to beat. And even against a team like Tennessee, who have much better options offensively, it still feels like it's going to be a one-score game between either of these teams coming into it on Sunday.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Tyler, do you say we had a caller on the line? Who is it? Because that's Brian in Arlington. You're up next. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? Yeah,
you know, the previous caller, man, there's so much to be excited about. I understand what he's saying, but being a longtime Jags fan, after seeing the defense perform well, the offense played well, we finally had a running game, we were sacking, interceptions, turnovers, I mean, everything was there. And I understand what he's saying about maybe next week the team won't perform well, but it would take a total letdown. I think this team looks very well coached. The team looks like it has much better speed. It looks like they're playing. It's just everything looks so crisp and good. The only thing I will criticize on is if Myers goes to missing and doing that again, he's got to go. He's going to be a liability, and he could cost us 2 games this year. And the only concern I have that's bigger than that is if we fall behind in a game early or something happens and Blake has to come in and has to pass the ball more to get us to you know, get us back from behind. We have to get the lead. I don't know if Bortles will be able to do that because he still threw some really bad passes. But other than that, I think the team was, I mean, it was phenomenal. Best performance we've had in years. The team looked awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
It really did. And look, I think the questions about the kicker and Jason Myers it's not new. Right, like we've had these questions. We were discussing it when the decisions about what was going to go on, that he struggled for a couple weeks, it felt like, in the preseason. And Mike, we've talked about this before. The answer for me is pretty simple, right? When I'm asking myself, should Jason Myers be the kicker for this team this week? If the Jags are down 2 and there's a 40-yard kick to win it in the last 30 seconds of the game, do you have any confidence if they run Myers out there that he's going to make that kick? Because I'm not confident that he's going to make that kick, and that's the answer. For a team that wants to play ball control and needs points when they have the opportunity to get points, I don't understand. And I know they've talked about the touchbacks. I even made a joke out of it on Twitter a little bit this weekend. I told fans, for everyone that's really upset about Myers missing that kick, just remember he gets touchbacks on kicks, to which people were very upset because they were taking that tweet seriously. I'm not serious. If it was me, the kicker position is too easy to find another option if the guy that you have isn't getting the job done. And look, it didn't hurt them this week because they were beating Houston badly, but going forward, I need a guy that when I run him out there for a 38-yard kick, I feel like it's money.
Do you know who Giorgio Tavecchio is? Nobody else did before. No. The Raiders picked him up 3 days before the season opener, and he went out there and made 4 field goals for them. By the way, it's weird that maybe they're partial to the left footers because he's a left footer as well.
But, your job, make the kick.
I mean, seriously, I mean that there are kickers out there. That nobody know. I'm sure some people knew who Giorgio Tavecchio was, but the average fan never heard of the guy. I never heard of the guy. There you go. He comes in, has a fantastic day, and he's the kicker until Janikowski's healthy and ready to go. All right, we got to step aside here, so we're on time for Freddie T. On the other side, Fred Taylor, Hall of Fame nominee. Fred Taylor going to give us his thoughts on the Jaguars' Week 1 performance, what they're going to do against the Titans. As he's coming into town, of course, to work the post-game show with us, you'll hear him on the pregame show talking to J.P. Shadrick as well. That's straight ahead on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Why do you think that is, Fred? Was it just a crowded field of really good backs in your era? Was it the fact that you played in a smaller market? You didn't get voted to as many Pro Bowls as maybe you deserved? Why do you think you're not first and foremost in that conversation when the Hall of Fame rolls around every year?
I don't know, Mike. I really don't know how the conversation goes. I don't know the criteria. You know, I don't know who knows the criteria. I've asked around. It's really great. But again, there are a lot of backs in the Hall of Fame now that I have better numbers than.
That's Fred Taylor wondering, along with us, why he hasn't gotten more respect, consideration when it comes to discussion about the Hall of Fame. 11,695 regular season yards rushing, over 2,300 receiving yards to go along with that, a slew of touchdowns, a slew of great memories, explosive plays, certainly the backing of arguably the greatest player of all time, Jim Brown, as the greatest of his generation when he was playing. Let's welcome in our friend Fred Taylor, who is now officially Hall of Fame nominee. Fred Taylor, good morning, Fred. How are you, man?
Ben, I'm all right. How's it going on your end?
It's going well. Tony and I did not get nominated for the Hall of Fame. So
no, we did not.
We presume it's going better on your end. Congratulations. Do you feel that, you know, you've kind of stood up for yourself in this department? Do you feel that that has had an impact on you getting recognized, at least to get to this stage?
You know what, Mike? I remember maybe just a couple months ago, just sending out a simple tweet after it dawned on me, like, "Hey, I'm post 5 years retired, so I should have had some sort of nomination at this point." And after sending out that tweet, you know, things sort of changed a little bit, and I just left it there. I didn't expect anything. I just wanted to be in an argument, as I've always said. And not until I got your tweet last night, I didn't realize that I was nominated finally. But again, I'm going to go about things as I've always gone about them. I do believe that I should be mentioned in the same sentences with the likes of, you know, the Randy Mosses and the Ray Lewis's, you know, and those other people. But, you know, I'm thankful that I am nominated. I'm not going to take it for granted because there's a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline that went into account. But, again, I do think that I have a valid argument. And when you lay things out and when you look, you speak to the guys that I played against, as you mentioned, having Jim Brown, you know, quote what he quoted, the guys like Ray Lewis, Troy Polamalu, those guys that are going to be first ballot, I think when they speak up and they talk about my body of work and playing against me, I think that speaks for itself and that should help some.
Yeah, Fred, and it's not just you. It's kind of cool when I opened up the article about who got nominated this year and I saw Tony Boselli, who obviously was going to be there again after being a finalist last year, saw right. Your name and also saw Jimmy on that list as well. It was really cool to see all three of you guys. I think you're all three worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, but just to finally start getting that recognition, I think is a really positive step for all three of you guys.
You know, it's definitely a positive step for the three of us as individuals, but even more so you know, just the city of Jacksonville. I, you know, it's a lot of times it's mockery when they talk about the market. Well, the market is what it is, but what I've learned as a player is winning. Winning helps the market grow. You know, and a lot of on all these other places. Look at Green Bay, Wisconsin. Well, they're popular for cheese. A lot of variety of cheese. But they're winning, and that's football mecca. It is tradition, but it started with winning. You know, even because of Coach Lombardi. If they weren't winning, then nobody's talking.
Right.
Sorry, I got cut out there. I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're good. You're good, Fred. We heard everything you had to say.
Then no one's talking about them. So you have to win in order to grow the market. But more than anything, for those nominations, myself, Jimmy, and Tony, it's really, you know, just sort of give some of shine some light on Jacksonville, because we've had some solid players, and we're going to have our players as the team continues to go, as they grow, as they win, as the organization grows and the tradition develops, and then you're going to talk about Jacksonville more.
Jaguar great Fred Taylor here with us on Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Fred, it looks like maybe the team is going to start to attract attention for a positive reason for the first time in a long time. Just your initial thoughts on the beating they put on the Houston Texans to open up the season.
You know, I saw the replay, Mike. Man, what a game. You know, I was able to catch it in the first. I did everything in my power to try to watch that game because of Hurricane Irma. I mean, I had my my AT&T hotspot up with my laptop and my Comcast, Xfinity. I mean, I'm pretty much plugging these companies. I'm expecting a royalty tag too at the end of this interview. But I was able to catch it in first. Man, the defense looked great. It reminded me of '99 Coach Capers. You know, we had Gary Walker out there, Tony Francis, Kevin Hardy, Joe Smingy, you know, even a couple guys in the secondary there, Aaron Beasley, Lockerman. You know, we had some solid players on defense, a lot of veteran guys. They have a good mix of veteran and young guys out there that went and got the job done, and they totally dominated to the point where Houston, they're changing quarterbacks going into week two as they visit Cincy. But, the offense looked solid. They didn't turn the ball over. They protected the ball, which is what you need to do. And I think they have a good formula. They want to run the ball, minimize turnovers, and create turnovers, and create pressure on the defensive side, and play field position games. They're going to give yourself an opportunity to win that division. As I said, way, way back after the draft, that the Jags are going to win that division. And I still will say that today. And I said it before Deion. But he has the spotlight. But RJ is going to win that division.
Yeah, Fred, and you mentioned the running game, our first chance to get an extended look at Leonard Fournette this weekend in a Jaguars uniform. I know we were all impressed on this end. What did you see from the rookie?
I saw a lot of some quickness, especially for a guy his size. I saw decisiveness, and I think that's where the quickness came from, because he was decisive, he was downhill, he ran with good pad lean. His pad level was outstanding because no one got under him. That created his power that he needed. He caught the ball out of the backfield. He had some fear. And he was one cut and north. And he was bulldozing over people. And the amount of carries that he took in week one, having missed the amount of preseason games that he missed, that shows that his condition, his cardio and stamina is up to par. So I expect a lot of good things out of him this year, starting with the treatment room, hoping that he's just taking care of his body, because it's going to be a long, long season. He's going to be a workhorse, and they're going to depend on him. So when I get an opportunity, or if he's listening to this interview here, this piece, I just want to say, Leonard, take care of your body, man. Just maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. That's all you should think about until the next game.
And, Fred, yeah, that's certainly true, especially with 29 touches this week for Leonard Fournette in both the run and pass game combined. And at least right now, it looks like with a healthy Chris Ivory, they have a nice 1-2 punch. Ivory looked fresh-legged, Fred, when he came in. He looked explosive. Looked like he was running with a lot more purpose than we've seen him in his brief Jaguars career.
Yeah, Chris did look like the Chris of old, you know, back in those Jets days. He looked very solid. And I think they're going to be a good tandem, a good duo there to, you know, create some opportunities in the run game. And the offensive line, you know, they went out and just handed it to a defense that ended the season ranked number one. And that's pretty much the same defensive front with the exception of Vince Wilfork. But, again, Vince wasn't playing every snap for them. So that's the same defense out there for the most part. And they pretty much just dominated in the run game. And they protected the quarterback. And that's what you want to see out of that offensive line on a consistent basis. And that'll give those guys in the backfield an opportunity to do what they did. So perfectly played game. I expect to see a lot more of that. Hopefully they can finish this week 2-0 versus Titans. And I also saw Coach Coughlin in the box taking notes. So it's sort of he's not far away from it. He's not far away from it, but that's exactly what you need because he's a winner, and he has the trust in those coaches and everyone on the staff. And and when you're a winner, it's easy for people to buy into and believe in what you've achieved and accomplished. So hey, the more the merrier, and just keep it going.
Fred, I know you've been around a lot of NFL locker rooms. Heck, man, you were around this city when it was having some big success as well. We can kind of feel the energy of this city after this win against Houston, everything that it's been dealing with this week with Irma, and an opportunity to get to 2-0 against their biggest rival, the Tennessee Titans, and take the early control of this division. You can feel the energy in this city, and the level is rising day by day as we're coming in to do the show. You know what it feels like to walk out on that field when the stands are full, what it means to this city when this team is good. How excited are you about this football game coming up on Sunday and the opportunity in front of this Jaguars team?
First and foremost, Tony, I'm excited simply because it's the Titans. You know, that history with that ball, with that franchise. And here's an opportunity to keep the ball rolling early in the year. It's rare that you get two divisional opponents back-to-back, and this is going to set the tone to the season. And this is what you want. This is what you expect. Not only that they have two divisional opponents back-to-back, they're going to have three AFC opponents. So these are tiebreakers later in the year. So it's an opportunity to get a jump and get a lead on the entire conference. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that, you know, I have friends there in Jacksonville, and everybody was dampened by Hurricane Irma. And the flooding, the amount of water that was released from the St. John's and the ocean Atlantic. And it was bad. It was pretty much disastrous, disaster level. And I think that when the team won, from what I understand and talking to my friends, it sort of just created a whole new spirit in that energy you're talking about. People sort of forgot about what they were going through. You know, even though it was still there, they pretty much put it on the side because that's how much they want their ball club to do well. And the guys responded. They brought home a W. And now people are back to their normal lives and have to deal with the aftermath of the hurricane. But, again, I can guarantee you they're going to forget all about that stuff come Sunday when their team is on and they have a chance to root them on. And prayfully, we can get another win and help those people sort of just forget about, you know, the stuff that they're going through right now. It's not going away, but again, you know, winning helps everything, like we said at the beginning of the broadcast. It helps everything. So hopefully they'll bring home a win, keep the momentum going, keep the energy in town going, and the fans are going to get behind them like they were behind us in 98, 99, and those other years.
They've been waiting for it, Fred. They finally look like they've got something to be truly excited about, and not just that the division is so bad that maybe you can hang around. No, it looks like this is a chance to maybe separate yourself early from the rest of the AFC South field. So let's hope that they follow it up with a second win this week. We can't wait to see you, Hall of Fame nominee Fred Taylor. You're going to get sick of us saying that about you, because only Fred, until one day we say Hall of Famer Fred Taylor, along with several other classic Jaguars. We hope that's the case, man. But first steps first. We're happy for you. Congratulations that you made it to this point, my friend.
Thanks. You got to keep going, Mike. You know, and we will keep grinding, man. So I appreciate you guys, man, for bringing me on.
You got it, buddy. Hey, listen, we'll see you Sunday. He is Fred Taylor. Needs no introduction. But he is the Hall of Fame nominee now with over 11,000 rushing yards, another 2,300-plus receiving yards, and so many great memories here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor getting it done for you. Thank you to him for joining us this morning on the occasion of the nomination, Tony. And apparently, he said, tweet, I texted him last night. Tyler mentioned it to me. He goes, hey, did you see Fred is a Hall of Fame nominee? And I just had happened to him. I thought, you know what? Why don't I text him some congratulations? And apparently that's the first he heard of it. So you're welcome, Fred. Happy to break the news to you. You know what? If I had just asked him to come on the program this morning, we could have broke it and surprised him live on the air.
Maybe, but, yeah.
Good for him, man. He, you know what? Very deserving. And somebody on the text line is like, how come you guys don't promote Fred as much as you promote Tony? Well, Tony's been closer to getting done. Once the first one gets in, it helps everybody, man. If Tony were to get in last year, it's going to open up the floodgates. I think Tony getting as far as he did in the process opens up minds about Fred and Jimmy Smith and, you know, what their place in everything. And that this current Jaguars group that has put up an abysmal record in recent years shouldn't reflect on the great period of time that you had in the mid to late 90s into the early 2000s with a special group of players in the National Football League.
No doubt.
So, good stuff. Glad we could catch up with Freddie T here on the program this morning. 641-1010. We'll get some more of your calls in a little bit later on, and you can also use that number for the text line, driven by Duval Ford. The First Coast Roofing question of the day, asking you now, that you've talked about nothing but positives for the most part for the last 48 hours, at least we have on this program. What is your biggest concern going forward for the Jacksonville Jaguars? And you hit us up on any of our social media platforms with your answer to that one. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday when we return in a moment. We'll be in Rappaport, Rap Sheet from NFL Network. We go around the league with some of the latest rumors, news, and scuttlebutt and get down to business with him a little bit later on this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL. Jaguars today. Can we call it Victory Wednesday? I don't know. I'm going to stretch this whole week out if I possibly can, and we'll do it again next week if there's any justice in the world. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, time to have our weekly conversation with the insider from the National Football League, from NFL Network, NFL.com. Ian Rappaport joining Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Happy week one in the books, Ian. Week two dawning. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Are you kidding me?
Crazy week for you guys, I know. Wow.
It's been, right. I mean, for there are a lot of folks still dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Irma, but beyond that, there are a lot of happy people here in the city of Jacksonville, understandably. We haven't seen a performance like that out of the home team in a long time, man. What are people saying about this team that you're hearing around the league about their chances to contend this year in the AFC South?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I think for years, and not that I need to tell you this, but for years, you know, Jacksonville has sort of been everyone's sleeper darling, right? Like, oh, they got, you know, this is the year they finally break out, all that. Well, obviously, it wasn't like that this year. I think everyone sort of got tired of that and moved on to a new team, maybe the Titans or whoever. And then they had the kind of performance they did, and all anyone wants to talk about is the Texans, which is fine. I mean, obviously, the Texans quarterback situation was a mess. They couldn't protect them. There's a lot of issues there. But holy cow, this Jacksonville defense was unbelievable. You know, I mean, it was. You know, I'm not really sure that I've seen a performance, just a full-on dominating performance like that, where Houston literally couldn't run its offense. And you know, there's a lot of things that were crazy about Jacksonville this offseason. Signing Calais Campbell to that huge contract was certainly one of them. That might be worth it, though.
After 1 week, I got to say it is.
Yeah, we're hoping that it continues to pay those kind of dividends, obviously, here in Jacksonville. Kind of an offshoot of that, you mentioned it a couple times, what was going on with Houston, their quarterback situation. They're playing on Thursday night this week, so a short week for them to try to forget about what happened on Sunday against the Jags. But it certainly does feel like right now, Deshaun Watson likely going to get his first NFL start tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm told that is what's going to happen. They haven't made an announcement yet. They're waiting for it to see how his ankle goes. And I think Bill O'Brien is probably enjoying keeping everyone guessing a little bit. But I was told the decision had been made. It is going to be Watson. He's going to make his starting debut. And I am really fascinated. I mean, this is a big time talent. He's a leader. He's been incredible mentally, just preparation wise. First on the field, first in meetings. All of those things, so I just want to go watch him play. And, I know that Bill O'Brien and the Texans people think he could be a real future great, and the future is going to start on Thursday.
Ian Rappaport here with us, NFL Network. Ian, let's go back to a story we discussed last week as news came out after the last time we spoke with you on Wednesday about Ezekiel Elliott obviously getting the temporary injunction, being able to play at least beyond week one. What's the timeline? What should we be looking for next? If let's be honest, a lot of people have him on their fantasy teams. Dallas Cowboy fans want to know, is he going to be available to us all year? From what you're hearing, do you expect Ezekiel Elliott to be able to use the court system to keep himself on the active roster for all 16 games this year?
Yes, I do. And I'm, obviously important Cowboys-wise, league-wise, fantasy-wise. Fantasy is huge, and that's why David Johnson's injury was such a big deal. But it's basically the way it was explained to me is, there's a couple briefs and stuff due this week for the NFL's appeal of the injunction. It's not likely that's going to be successful. So basically that would mean they will have discovery and other court procedures in January, probably maybe December or January, and then, a hearing after the season. And, obviously the courts move slow, so you'll probably get a hearing after the season, maybe a decision in, the spring or something. And then, someone will decide whether or not to take it further in the court. That's kind of where we are. But, yeah, I would expect Ezekiel Elliott to play throughout the 2017 season.
Yeah, and some fans only hear that January thing, and they think that's when the next thing could happen with whether or not Ezekiel Elliott may be suspended, which would affect Dallas potentially maybe in a playoff run. But you're saying next spring is really the next big moment for Ezekiel Elliott as to whether or not he's going to be facing a 6-game suspension at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that could change that would be, let's say, unfortunately he gets an injury. Let's say he gets a high ankle sprain. Well, then, all right, well, you're going to be out, 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe just take the suspension now, continue to fight it in court, but take the suspension now just to save you games later. That's, to me, the only thing that could really change that is he might just say, I'm going to be pragmatic and take it now and then just, still I didn't do it, but let me just serve the suspension now to get it over with.
Ian, are people in the league talking about whether or not they think the NFL has a good case against him, whether or not they think he did it? What are people saying about where they think this process should go and whether or not the disciplinary system needs to be looked at further? I guess from the league's point of view, they don't want to take it out of Goodell's hands, but how big of a point of contention will this be in the next CBA negotiation?
It's going to be a point of contention. I'm not sure how much, because I thought this was going to be a big point of contention last time, but this turned out to be something that the players really didn't fight like crazy for. They fought. It was collectively bargained, so it was negotiated. But this was what both sides decided on. And, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum toward helping it be more lenient for just a couple players. I think a lot of other players would rather fight for other things. Maybe relaxed discipline on marijuana, maybe, something to alter the practice squad limit. Stuff like that. I would think players would fight for that more. But, in this case, the problem is there's a lot of sort of discrepancies and inconsistencies, and when the lead investigator, you know, basically comes out and says, I'm not sure I trust this accuser, and he gets suspended anyway, that caused a lot of people to throw their arms up.
Ian, you mentioned the David Johnson injury a few moments ago. When or can we expect David Johnson to be back on the field this season?
I would say mid-December. And, you know, obviously that creates a lot of different scenarios. What if they are, you know, 5-7 or something like that, 5-8? Does he really come back and try to save the day, or does he not? You know, what if, you know, if they're in the playoff race, then I would say he'll probably see it back. If he's not, then I would think, you know, the team would have some sort of, you know, some sort of interesting decision. So he's going to have surgery tomorrow, and then everyone will kind of just hit the pause button until then.
A couple more minutes here with Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, NFL.com. Ian, Tony Romo, I didn't get to watch his broadcast debut, but I've seen some of the highlights. They put that package together where he seems to be able to read pre-snap exactly what's going on. I got to believe in league circles he drew rave reviews for his performance in week one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, announcers don't usually do that because it's very risky because, you know, if you're wrong a lot, then everyone starts going, can you shut up and let me watch the play, please? but he was right. And, you know, if you guys, and I'm sure you guys have, if you ever sat with a quarterback and watched a game, you know, a lot of it's like that. Like, I know when I go to events, you know, I will sit in our green room with Marshall Faulk or Kurt Warner, Michael Irvin, some of our talent guys, you know, former athlete talent guys. And that's what watching the game is like, especially Marshall, who's like brilliant. A lot of times it's like, all right, here you go. Stretch play, going left, watch what the safety does when he comes up. You know, he'll tell us the play before it's going to happen. And that's what it's like with Romo. You start to wonder why a guy with not that much physical talent is able to be so successful. Well, you know, now we're seeing the reason why.
Yeah, we've seen the last couple of years the TV ratings for the NFL slip a little bit. They're trying to find some ways to, you know, do some different things to get some of these viewers back, including shortening the games a little bit. We know this weekend it was among the shortest average game times that the NFL has had in a very, very long time. What have you heard as far as reaction from the league and maybe even fans as well as to the games being shortened a little bit this weekend?
It was noticeable. It was noticeable and interesting. You know, it was, and I don't think it's just that, all right, cool, we achieved our goal. You know, each game is fewer than 3 hours. I mean, a lot of them were, but not all of them. Mostly it was about the pace. You know, it was not as much dead time. There was not a lot of, you know, touchdown, extra point, commercial, you know, kickoff, commercial. It wasn't that. They shortened the amount of commercials perhaps from per quarter maybe, from 5 to 6. I think that's what it was, or from 6 to 5. And the game was a lot more watchable. It was shorter. It was fun. You know, at 4:05, usually there's like 6 games going on. Now there was only like 2. I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, you know, right, get you to the next kickoff clean and hopefully maybe even have 5 minutes in between to go get a snack or whatever. The NFL keeping the trains running on time as much as possible. Here in Jacksonville, we'll take a 6-hour game if we get the same result that we got on week one, though, Ian. I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, man, it's good to catch up with you. And for folks wanting to keep up with everything going on the cutting edge of league business, inside news, scoop rumors, at Rap Sheet on Twitter and, of course, on NFL Network and NFL.com. Ian, thanks for the time again, brother.
All right, sounds good. Talk soon.
You got it. We'll do it again next week, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network will check in with the league-wide news and notes, just like he did. I'm telling you, Tony, it was uncanny. I know you saw. We watched a little bit of I caught the video last night. I got the mobile Wi-Fi hotspot, so I can power up the iPad and check out the internet. Don't have internet per se at the house. Don't have cable. Heard yesterday it might be another week. Hey, trust me, not complaining still. A lot of people in much worse condition out there. Just giving you the lay of the land. But as I was kind of reviewing a lot of stuff last night, came across about a 2-minute, 20-second clip. Just Google Tony Romo video and you'll find it. And he's sitting there. He's going, I'll bet you $5 is a run to the left. Boom. And he runs. I mean, he probably did it 8-9 times, and he was deadly accurate. Now, maybe they only showed the ones that he was spot on with, but the word was he was uncanny. I saw some people talking about it on social media who actually watched the game. They said it was unbelievable to watch him, and he would make them want to watch a game more simply because he was broadcasting it now. So if that's the case, I mean, we're talking about a guy that got elevated quickly. Did CBS have an inkling that he was going to be this good, or was he just a personable, well-liked, intelligent, well-spoken guy that they thought, okay, he's going to turn into a good broadcaster? Could they have had a sense that he was going to be able to be this good, this quick, potentially?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, for me personally, I only saw the highlights or whatever that you showed me this morning. I didn't get a chance to watch Romo calling the game this weekend because it was going on opposite of the Jags game this week. He was in Oakland with the Tennessee Titans, and it's, you know, I don't pay much attention to what's going on with it, generally speaking. I mean, I've told this story before. I will mute the TV and put on music during football games because I just get annoyed a lot of times by what's going on with the play-by-play. But that kind of thing where there's actual insight given by the guy that's doing the color commentary, heck yeah. I'm all about that as a football fan, to give me something beyond just telling me what we just saw. Tell me what you expect to happen. Tell me why you expect it to happen. Give me a little bit more of a deeper level to it, and yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
All right, coming up, we've got this Dayton football and the Honda Drive around the NFL on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Keep in mind, you may have plumbing issues, man. I know a lot of people have not had water restored yet as of yesterday. I knew some people personally that had not had their water restored. So who knows? Maybe your septic tank's got an issue with all the saturation in the ground. I don't know what problems you might have, but Metro Rooter knows how to solve them all when it comes to plumbing. Same day service. You need them out there today, they'll get out there today. They're not going to make you wait till the weekend. And God forbid you have a problem on the weekend and they make you wait till the following week. For all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter's got the solution. The right people with the right equipment make it work. Serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. That's Jacksonville and the surrounding area. They come to my house in St. Augustine whenever I have an issue. They'll do the same for you. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Back with this Dayton football and the Honda Drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right. Time for this Dayton football, Tony. So here it is. This Dayton football presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Going back.
This date in football history.
There it is. I was waiting patiently, I thought. This Dayton football history, as I said, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Prior to this date in 1973, you could not watch the home team in the hometown market on television. Period. Didn't matter if the game was sold out or not. Greatest game ever played. What was it? The 1958 championship game was played in Yankee Stadium. You know where it wasn't broadcast? The city of New York. They took the whole city of New York out of play. It was a sellout. Didn't matter. Couldn't watch it. The policy was in effect until when in 1972 the Redskins made the playoffs for only the second time in 27 seasons. And because all home games were blacked out, politicians, including the president himself, Richard Nixon, we're not able to watch your favorite team's home games. NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle refused to lift the blackout for the NFC Championship game despite a plea from the U.S. Attorney General, although he did agree to lift the blackout for Super Bowl VII on a, quote, experimental basis if the game sold out 10 or more days in advance. If the Super Bowl sold out 10 or more days in advance. And with the game a sellout, viewers in the L.A. area were able to see the NBC telecast of the game. Nevertheless, on this date, 1973, Congress intervened and passed Public Law 93-107, which eliminated the blackout of games in the home market so long as the game was sold out by 72 hours ahead of game time, which was the policy for the longest time. Now, blackouts are a thing of the past in the National Football League. But to think, even if your team sold all the tickets and it was packed, the hometown fan base could not watch him on TV. Kind of a crazy world, sports-wise, that we lived in back then. This date in 1981, the Atlanta Falcons tied a record by scoring 31 points in the fourth quarter. They did it against the Green Bay Packers. Back in 87, quarterback Steve DeBerg established a franchise record for Tampa Bay with 5 touchdown passes for the Bucs, setting marks the team for most points and the largest margin of victory, 38 in a 48-10 win over the Falcons at that time. Famous birthdays for this date. I only threw this guy in here because of his last name, Unitas. Matthew Pong Unitas. Pong is in the video game, right? Although he predated it. Pong was born in 1895. He passed away in 1972 at the age of 77. He'd be, what would that make him today, 122 years old, right? The reason I put him in here.
Besides his name being Unitas.
And Pong Unitas, yeah. Which is kind of cool. He only played for a couple of games for the Washington Senators in 1921. He did not go to college. And you'd be surprised at how many people, by the way, did not go to college who played in the National Football League. But he was a guard. Give me the height and weight for Pong Unitas, playing guard for the 1921 Washington Senators.
Height and weight, I'll go 5'8", 155.
5'8", 180. 5'8", 180 pounds. Pong Unitas, it's a different game completely from what it was back then. You'd be a small running back now at 5'8", 180. To think you're an offensive guard is laughable. There have probably been a few that have been twice the size of that, weight-wise at least, over the years. 1968, born in this date, happy 49th to Brad Johnson. Often thrown in to the Trent Dilfer conversation. I don't think he's as bad as Dilfer was. Brad Johnson was a couple-time Pro Bowl quarterback, including a 4,000-yard passing season in 99 with the Washington Redskins. A ninth-round selection, that's how old Brad Johnson is, a ninth-round pick in the 1992 draft by Minnesota out of Florida State, 227th overall. Brad Johnson helped the Tampa Bay Bucs win Super Bowl 37 by throwing for 215 yards and two touchdowns to none other than Jaguars wide receiver coach and longtime Jaguar great Keenan McCardle. And I'm sure Keenan wishes him a fond happy birthday as well. 49 years old is Brad Johnson. Finally, a lot of people were clamoring for him this offseason. He's 27 years old today. The backup for the Cincinnati Bengals helped the Alabama Crimson Tide win the 2011 and 2012 national championships. A.J. McCarron turns 27 years old today. This date in football presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located conveniently on Gate Parkway if you're in the market for a family dentist or if you need some cosmetic work done. Maybe you are a snorer or you have one in the family. The Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard can solve that problem for you. Call 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Arizona Cardinals are hoping to get running back David Johnson back between Thanksgiving and Christmas after he will undergo surgery to repair his dislocated wrist. The Cardinals have placed Johnson on injured reserve, which means he will have to miss at least 8 weeks before he can return. The team brought back running back Chris Johnson to a backfield that will now feature Kerwin Williams, Andre Ellington, and in some capacity, CJ 2K.
Jags play Arizona in November, and as you heard Ian Rappaport say, expect, if at all, a return, a December, mid-December return.
Yes. So we will see. Baltimore Ravens running back Danny Woodhead will be out 6 to 8 weeks while recovering from a hamstring injury. This is in the first game action that Woodhead will have missed. In fact, it's been a pretty regular occurrence for him to miss time due to injury. Woodhead has missed 27 games over the course of the last 3 years due to different reasons, including an ACL injury against the Jags last season in Week 2. That cost him the rest of the year. The Indianapolis Colts have placed starting right tackle Denzel Good on the injured reserve list with an undisclosed injury. The Colts will be turning to last year's third-round pick LaRaven Clark or Joe Haig to fill that spot. Houston has placed starting tight end C.J. Fedorowicz on the injured reserve after he suffered a concussion against the Jags on Sunday. The Texans signed Fedorowicz to a 3-year contract extension, potentially worth $21.5 million last week, with just over $10 million guaranteed in that deal. For his 2017 season, he has a per-game active bonus of $75,000 a week. That's $1.2 million this year. Obviously, 15 left to be earned this season, so he may be missing out on all of that money for the rest of the year. We will see.
All right, there you have it, the Honda Drive around the National Football League. We'll get to some of your responses to the First Coast Roofing question of the day upcoming, which asked you, what is your biggest concern for the Jaguars now going forward after seeing Week 1? And most of those concerns are going to come on the offensive side of the ball, which we expected even before Week 1. But boy, right now I don't have too many concerns on the defensive side of the football. One minor one, Jalen Ramsey not practicing today with an ankle injury, at least not expected to practice. The only Jags who are expected, at least according to the team's own Twitter feed, to appear on today's injury report are Blake Bortles with the right wrist injury. Okay, he had that going into last week. I don't think he did anything to exacerbate that. And T.J. Yeldon with the hamstring. But based on what they said about Ramsey not expected to practice, my presumption is T.J. Yeldon is expected to give it a somewhat of a go today. Maybe limited. I don't know. So
yeah, we'll
another
see.
Option for you. I guess Maybe you'd see a few third downs with T.J. Yeldon out there, but, boy, Chris Ivory looked good running behind Leonard Fournette and like that 1-2 punch that we saw. It's not going to be as easy this time around, Tony. It's just not going to be what you have. If the Jags...
No, teams don't do that every week.
No, if the Jags scrape it out this week, 14-13, be ecstatic.
Good enough, yeah.
Be ecstatic, okay? Much better offensive line for the Tennessee Titans, and they're going to try to punch you in the mouth and slow down your pass rush, much like you did to the Houston Texans, and get after it by playing physical with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry back there, and, of course, the threat of Mariota as well. But beyond that, they add Eric Decker. They draft Corey Davis very high, and he got some good reviews for his play in week one, and they had Rishard Matthews and Delanie Walker coming back. So a multitude of offensive options compared to what Houston was throwing at him last week.
Yeah, it was really bad what Houston put on the field last week. And I saw a stat this morning from somebody where the Jags defense had, on passing plays against Houston, had pressure on something like 63% of snaps, which is a crazy number. I think the next highest
Absurd.
Number last week was somewhere like 42.
Right.
And the Jags were at basically 63. So, yeah, that offensive line for Houston was just miserable last week. Obviously expected to be a much better test against Tennessee.
All right, let's get to the phone, 641-1010. Dell in Warner Robins, Georgia, checking in this morning. Good morning, Dell.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to comment. One thing that I liked about the game is the way that Todd Wash was calling the defense. We were given a lot of different looks. Rarely did we show cover two last year, but there was a couple looks where we were in cover two. There was one look where Jalen was at free safety, and I'm wondering if that's more of a evolution of Todd Wash, or maybe because of the play of Barry Church and his abilities over Cyprian from last year. So I really liked how we were looking, the different looks that we were given. And I know, you know, last year was predominantly single high safety. So that's one of the comments I wanted to make. I really liked the play of everybody for the most part, especially Miles Jack. But really, I just want to comment on the different looks that Todd Wash was given this year. And I'll take him off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right, you got it, Dell. Thank you, man. I think, Tony, it comes down to personnel. You've got people you trust back there, right? I mean, prior to last year, who'd you have at cornerback that you could hang your hat on? Then you got Jalen Ramsey. Well, you got one. And, you know, Aaron Colvin's been an okay player. Now you got Boye. Now you got a couple of cover guys. And if you hear what some of these defensive linemen are saying, that, you know what, sometimes we got quick pressure on Savage or Watson. But some of those sacks were coverage sacks because you've got guys on that back line. Deshaun Gibson played a better game than at any point he played for the Jags, I think, last year. Barry Church was everything you wanted him to be, which is, you know, just a steady guy in the right place at the right time, a sure tackler. He doesn't have to be spectacular to make everything happen. So I think having four guys, particularly two guys on the outside that you feel like you can man up one-on-one with just about anybody in the league, gives you options to be a little bit more creative if you're Todd Wash.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing sides on Sunday. It wasn't like they had to have Jalen Ramsey following DeAndre Hopkins around. They felt comfortable with A.J. Boye covering him too. So, yeah, I mean, they have flexibility not only with those guys, but the flexibility with what they can do with Barry Church, because he can play free or strong safety. So you can play around a little bit more. And on in a week where when they snapped the ball and you knew Houston was in a passing situation, when you're getting pressure on 60-plus percent of the snaps, then you can feel really confident in whatever you're going to call, right? Like, you are dictating completely to Houston offensively what they're going to be allowed to do in that football game. And it's not going to look like that every week, but you could feel, for an offseason where we all thought the defense was going to be even better than it was last year, what is that going to look like? For a week at least, the pass rush was there. And if the pass rush is going to be there for this Jaguars team with the horses they have on the back end of this defense, no, you're not going to move the ball against the Jacksonville Jaguars. If they get pass rush, it's going to be really difficult for anybody to move the ball against this Jags defense. The question was, where was it going to come from? For a week at least, asked and answered. We'll see what it looks like against Tennessee this weekend.
No question. As we mentioned yesterday, I don't think it's a small loss for Tennessee to be without Jonathan Cyprian, who, one thing, Sip's a physical guy. Can he miss tackles? Absolutely. Can he get lost and beaten coverage? Absolutely. Well, he can bring it downhill, though, and it's going to be a downhill style of game once again for the Jaguars, with Leonard Fournette and Chris Ivory leading the way, and that's one less guy out there for Tennessee,
yep,
qualified to stop him. You know, you presume the next guy, they paid him a lot of money to come in there, and I think it's a hammy for Sip.
It was a hamstring.
Well, I like Sip, man. Sip's a hell of a guy. He's always super nice, super professional to me. Couldn't have treated me any better in his time here. I don't have any ill words for Jonathan Cyprian. I hope his team gets throttled this weekend, however, and I hope he rues the day that Avery put on the mayonnaise-covered uniform. All right, we'll take a timeout here when we return in a moment. We've got the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by First Coast Roofing. What are your big concerns going forward for the Jacksonville Jaguars? We'll check in on some of those. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey on a Metro Rooter Wednesday live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hello, Terrence. How are you?
Mike, before I say something about the defense, I want to make a statement here. I believe in karma, and I hope that what I'm about to say don't make us get a bigger hit here in Jacksonville. I want us to go in there and stomp the Houston Texans. I want us to get up. I want the game to be over with by the fourth quarter, and so the fans can go ahead and leave early and get back to doing what they supposed to be doing. So I hope that, you know, it don't come back on us. But anyway, that's what I want to happen. Also, Mike, I think that our defense will fail if we do not force them to play Deshaun Watson the whole game.
Well, Tony, they didn't force him to play him the whole game.
No. Not week one, week two.
That's as much as you could have expected them to play Deshaun Watson going in the fact that he wasn't the starter.
They have forced Houston to make Deshaun Watson the starter. Week two.
Tom Savage, you're that bad.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's the same thing with Henny with Washington, right, a few years ago with the 10-sack game. You've basically seen it.
Right. But and no ill wishes towards Deshaun Watson, the person, but I hope that if the whole you forced him in too early and it ruined him thing is a real thing, that it's happening.
Sorry it happened to that franchise. That was the great and far-seeing Terrence, who joins us right now once again. Terrence, tell us good things that are going to happen to the Jaguars this weekend. How are you, man?
Hey, Mike, Fat Tony, did I call it or what?
After years of lunacy and ridiculous calls, Terrence, you nailed this one right on the money.
Yes, and so I just wanted to, I knew that defense was going to come together and play hard, and I'm telling you, we're going to the playoffs. Take my word, we're going to the playoffs. And, Mike, but I was wondering, and I give you my concern, but I was wondering, since they have such a strong running game this week, why don't we put pause as the Mike this week, move mild to strong? And I wonder if they'll consider that. And
well, that's what they've done, but it would be because of the personnel packages that Houston was running. They just didn't have a need for three linebackers on the field very often. That could change, and Doug Marrone talked about that earlier this week, that's going to be a little bit game plan week-to-week dependent. Paul Posluszny, Terrence, only ended up playing, I think, 8 snaps, Tony?
Something like that.
Is what it was? And
it was 7 or 8.
Whatever it was, the formula worked out pretty well, Terrence.
Yeah, and now, it is the perfect time to bring in Roberto Aguayo. Right. This would be great.
No finer time than now.
Roberto Aguayo with the fifth hit.
Yes.
Terrence, no better time. You're absolutely right. Why not? You got the Midas touch right now, Terrence. Whatever you say, I'm going to suggest. We will be speaking with Jaguars President Mark Lamping tomorrow, and I don't know if we'll have time for it on the air, but off the air, I'm writing down all your suggestions. I'm going to pass them along to Mr. Lamping, and he will shoot them up the chain of command. How about that?
Okay, that'll work, Mike.
All right.
I talk to you all. Okay, guys. Okay.
He's arrived. Yeah. Thank you, Terrence. Usually I'm rushing Terrence off because he's saying something crazy, Tony. There's nothing he can say right now. Nothing crazier than the outcome of what we saw in week one. So, yeah, I'm with you, Terrence. Let's go to the playoffs, man. Let's print playoff tickets. That'd be fantastic. I cannot wait to buy playoff tickets with my season tickets allowing me to purchase a pair. But by the way, little grandma is taking care of my seats this weekend. My wife's not going to the game. So she's missing out. That's on her. But little grandma will be happy to have those tickets, and I might even throw it in a parking pass for her because I had acquired one just in case the wife was going. So that's for her this upcoming weekend. For us right now, Tony, we asked folks this morning Brought to you by our friends at First Coast Roofing. What are your biggest concerns, or what is your biggest concern going forward for the Jaguars in 2017? How did Twitter respond to that?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar Consistency. The win was nice. Let's do it again. From Jason, Blake continues to be the biggest concern. The loss of A-Rob only compounds that. Manage that game. Blake, manage that game. From Downer Jag Fan, is our passing game good enough? We'll have to pass more this week, usually, without A-Rob. From Brett, losing Marquise Lee, who suddenly became the most indispensable player we have. From Aussie Jag, being able to put in performances like last Sunday's week after week. Also, our kicker, he is going to cost us the W soon. From Jarrell, as of today, Jason Myers, every point counts. From Alvaro, defense was great last year. This year is looking better. Our offense was garbage. My concern is the quarterback. And only the quarterback. From Stewart, won't be able to buy any more merch because it sells out. 19-0. From Patrick, our kicker, he has proven to be unreliable. Missed an extra point or field goal can cost us wins. From Lamar, Blake hands down. If the running game doesn't work, he will be forced to throw the ball. He is our weakness. From Charlie, did we see the real 2017 Jags or was it a fluke? Hoping to continue to see the same performance week in, week out. From Jag Fan, offense and kicking consistency. From Winbo, Jimbo changed his name this week. The wide receivers from a strength to a glaring hole in one possession of football. From Mayo, no, we got sustainability.
Mayo.
Yeah, I don't know. Most likely will not play that good this week. Still need to find ways to win. From Ryan, quarterback and wide receiver production. Teams will most likely try to take Fournette away. Houston tried to with 8 men in the box, couldn't do it. We will have to be able to adjust on offense. And finally, from Janet, one more vote in for Jason Myers.
Would you eat? You know, how big is that small size jar of mayo? You know, the big one, right? The big one's like the family size. Well, how big is that smaller one that's about 4 inches tall? I don't know how much mayo that contains.
I have no idea.
Would you be willing to eat that in its entirety in one sitting? Let's say give you 30 minutes to down that. It's not that much volume. It's just the thought of that much grease.
Yeah, I don't want that much mayonnaise.
But if it guaranteed you victory over the Titans this week, would you do it?
Yeah.
You would.
I would. But it's not going to guarantee victory. So I'm not
I know it's not. I know it's not. How about if they win, are you willing to eat a spoonful of mayo? Big heaping spoonful on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you say?
Oh, it's so gross.
Like, why are you asking me this? Why don't you turn it around on yourself there, Dempsey? All of you, think about this out there now. Consider your mayo consumption.
Maybe that's the question tomorrow.
Maybe it is.
What would you be
How
willing
much
to
mayo
do?
Would yeah, you eat?
Right. Like, what will you do on Monday if the Jaguars win on Sunday?
Right.
Place your bets now.
You know, now it's becoming a little. The bar is going to be lower and lower because people are going to come to expect them to win games if they keep up these kind of performances.
Sure.
You know, again, look, I'm enjoying the whole week. You're not going to wipe the smile off my face for the whole week, man. Reality may slap them in the face on Sunday. Who knows? You know, I think they're going to go toe to toe. Right now, I'm going to pick the Jags to win. They're at home. Got plenty of momentum. They whipped the Tennessee Titans the last time they played them, and it was not that long ago. It was less than a calendar year ago, you know, second to last game of the season. So go out there and do it again. You got a lot to play for. You didn't have much to play for at all other than impressing the new head coach, the interim coach at the time. But in terms of, you know, playoff consideration and things like that, wasn't a factor. All right. With that, we're getting ready to shoot it back over to 1010XL.
Now, it's the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Order your Gators Game Day Tailgate Catering today at moescateringfl.com.
All right, with that, let's bring in Jaguars sideline reporter and host of the Midday Chalk, Rick Ballew. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Mike, I'm good. What's going on?
You know, just reveling in it right now. Good to be back over to Everbank. Had Freddie T on this morning. He is a Hall of Fame nominee for the first time, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease, I think, in his case. Nice to see Jimmy Smith on that list as well, and as we expected, Tony Boselli to be back. So good things on that front.
Yeah, all three there, and be interested to see what happens as they move forward. But, you can make a case for each and every one of the three. I've always felt that Boselli deserves to get in, but in the case of, you know, Fred Taylor, if he just could have stayed healthy, I think you look at his average per carry and things that he did, it was just outstanding. Maybe the one thing that will hurt Fred as well is that he didn't have as many touchdowns. He got taken out in some situations around the goal line compared to some other great backs in that era.
Yeah, it's the Stacey Mack impact on that one. It was certainly a real thing for Fred. And you look at his size, I think it was his running style, Rick, that they pulled him out. Fred was a guy that didn't always like the first hole. He liked to bounce it sometimes. And whatever the case, I think he's got the Hall of Fame worthy numbers. As we start to turn over the hump of midweek, Rick, and head towards week two in the NFL, week three in college football, what will you guys be focusing on today?
Well, we'll talk more about, you know, the Jags victory and look forward here. You know, Tennessee has got some injury situations as well. We talked about SIP yesterday. Adoree Jackson was in for LaShawn Sims, who was expected to return this week on the corner. But the Jags obviously got it done in week one on the ground with Fournette and a very solid performance on that offensive line and didn't ask, you know, Bortles to do a lot. Does that change somewhat this week? Is he going to have to make a couple of more plays in the air? So we'll discuss that, plus everything that's going on in college football. I don't know if you've heard yet, Mike, but Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator of the Gators, is going from the sideline up to the booth to call plays. That's a big deal.
That'll fix it. That'll fix everything.
I was about to say, based on what I saw against Michigan, they could put him under the field and it wouldn't matter.
They may put him under the field if they have a few more performances like that. Rick, thank you. We'll be listening, bud.
All right.
There he goes, the sideline reporter and host of the Midday Chalk, Rick Ballew, along with Joe C. and T-Wig, coming up for the next 3 hours. What are you laughing at?
They could put him in Jacksonville. He could be on a satellite, just doesn't a play
really
behind. It doesn't matter.
Could be like what some minor league sports do. You watch a game on TV and call the broadcast off that.
Yeah,
you
know, that happens.
Just, hey, watch it. Watch it. Hey, guy. Hey, coach. I'm watching this from home.
He's calling on his cell phone.
Looks like maybe a few more screen passes are in order here.
Right.
And I don't know.
Meyer just sitting in his living room calling in the play.
Can you have can McElwain hold his cell phone while he rides the shark at the same time? Okay, it's like walking and chewing gum. I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he can't. It's good times. All right. That'll do it for us. Yeah, the giddiness remains a little bit here. Thanks, Fred Taylor, for joining us. Just Freddie T, man. What a good dude. What a good guy to have as part of your legacy Jaguar fans out there. That is a straight-up good guy, and you'll hear him this Sunday. You'll hear him plenty. You'll hear him in the pregame talking with JP, previewing the Titans game. Then he'll join us for the hour immediately following to get his reaction with his stack of notes that he takes, hopefully on another Jaguar victory. I mean, as Mike on Twitter, Kayak Fish, said, man, it feels like we're being set up for a huge punch in the gut this weekend. It could happen. It certainly could happen, but our thinking it and hoping for it is not going to have any actual impact on the outcome. It may make you feel a little worse if you get really high, but you know what? Screw that. Get high. Expect excellence. You've waited for it for this long. They flashed it in week one. Let's see if they can do it again in week two and go in there with a lot of confidence that you are not only able to win this game, but that you will win this game, that you can prove that you're the better team at this early point in the season than the Tennessee Titans. And look, like we said, sloppy, nasty, whatever. I won't call it ugly. It'll be a beautiful win if they come out with one more point than Tennessee and go 2-0 in the division and get some early separation. Can you believe that? That does it for us. Thanks to Ian Rappaport from NFL Network for joining us. Tomorrow, Jaguar President Mark Lamping will talk about the Jags Has Won initiative. Hopefully, you're all aware of that. Jags donating a bunch of money to First Coast Relief and as well as giving away 5,000 tickets. All the details, if you go to Jaguars.com, are available. Go to Jaguars.com/JagsHasWon if you want to apply for some of those 5,000 tickets if you've been particularly impacted by Hurricane Irma. That does it for us. Tony, great job by you. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up here on this end. Jaguars Today back tomorrow from 10 to noon right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the